This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. They'll suck your blood, spread disease, and thick clouds of the pest can even choke livestock. But mosquitoes are a fact of life here in Southwest Florida. Now, a swarm of salt marsh mosquitoes is attacking residents of Collier County. The good news is this species doesn't spread diseases like Zika, but that does not make them any less annoying. On the second half of our show, we'll talk with mosquito experts and the Collier County Mosquito Control District about what they're calling the worst swarm of the bloodsuckers they've seen in years. But first, Lee Health is ranked by Forbes magazine at number 29 among the large employers in the United States as best to work for. And Jim Nathan has stood at the helm of that 13,000-plus employee organization since 1981. He announced his resignation as CEO at the end of April, officially retiring on June 1st, about 2 years before his five-year contract is up. Joining us now in the studio to talk about his decision to retire and the changes that Lee Health has seen over the years is Jim Nathan. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you. I'm honored.
We are talking with CEO and President of Lee Health today on the show. Do you have a question or a comment? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So you have a couple years left on your contract, Mr. Nathan. What made you decide to retire now?
Well, I've had multiple contracts, obviously, since 1981. So it was a feeling about a year ago that I was slowing down a little bit. I'm 70 years old, have a grandchild that I wasn't able to visit and see, a wife who's been phenomenally supportive of me for all these years. And I've often said to people, as long as she continues to put up with my schedule, which she has, but it just seemed like it was time. And I felt like we had a lot of things that we were putting into place that I wanted to get organized and make sure that we could have them almost hardwired going forward. A lot of projects, wanted to get the Children's Hospital open, wanted to get the Coconut Point to at least through the groundbreaking. We've got a 50% increase in our cancer center, which the board has now agreed to proceed with. So a lot of projects were in my mind that I wanted to make sure those were going. We did the rebranding and a number of other issues. So I really, over the last year, I was quietly working, I call it running a marathon over the last year to try to get organized so that I could feel comfortable stepping aside and feel like we had a great team in place to move forward.
So this was something you kind of had been mulling for a while, and then about a year ago you set yourself a deadline. I want to get these things
done. I didn't really have a date set, but I had a list of things internally and externally that were important to me to be able to do. And the timing just seemed right. We have a publicly elected board of directors, which is very rare for a healthcare organization. The board did not have any turnover last November. And there's not another election until a year from this coming November, so a year and a half away. So I felt like this would give the board an opportunity, since it was a stable board, to really get settled with a new leadership team and not be worried about changes at the board level during that period.
Well, this has been a big week for Lee Health in the news anyway. You have the Coconut Point groundbreaking that happened just yesterday. How does it feel to have that lined up as you launch yourself into retirement?
Well, I don't even recall how many groundbreakings I've been involved in the growth of this region and community and the health system. But this was an important one. It's something that really in the early 2000s we began to envision. We didn't know when it would occur. We certainly hadn't predicted the 2007 through 2011 slowdown economically here. But as the community has rebounded and the growth in South Lee County has continued so phenomenally, we felt like this was the right time. And we're excited about it. And that was one of the projects on my list that I wanted to make sure was hardwired to move forward, because it's not just about buildings and beautiful landscaping, which we'll have. It's really about a concept of trying to improve the coordination of healthcare. I've used a term a lot in my career. I learned about it really through my dad, who had all kinds of major medical problems, which was how I got involved in healthcare. And I use a term called fend for self medicine. And everybody, even if you've never heard it, knows what that means. If you or someone in your family is not in charge, then who the heck is? We have brilliant, talented, hardworking, very, very special individuals in healthcare that do their piece to the puzzle. But putting the puzzle together has become increasingly more difficult. And now we're dealing with not just repair center medicine, but chronic health care conditions, people with major medical challenges, multiple medical challenges that go on for years. And so we're trying now desperately to figure out a way to improve the coordination. So we see this new location as really a laboratory for the future of healthcare.
I mean, do you find that you mentioned fend for yourself healthcare? Do you find that being in Florida specifically lends in a micro way to a lot of people kind of fending for themselves? Because there are a lot of people that are transplants from somewhere else. They don't have family advocates to get them to places and help them. Do you find that being one of the challenges?
I think it's one of the challenges, but I believe that it's endemic in healthcare in our country. We are not a well-coordinated, we may call ourselves a health system nationally and locally, but we're really not a coordinated care delivery system. So we do a lot of workarounds. We have more and more people that we call navigators to try to help people navigate through the health system. And part of our Coconut Point program will be to really focus on partnering with the people in South Lee County to help them navigate their health care delivery system.
It is an overwhelming thing, the healthcare system. You've been doing this for a while. Do you feel like it's more complicated or less complicated than it was?
Well, it's far more complicated because we have so many different specialties. And just yesterday in our board, we had a presentation from our leadership of home health, which is a really massive business by itself, leadership of our rehabilitative medicine, leadership of our skilled nursing facilities and skilled nursing programs, and how all of those businesses coordinate and communicate effectively both within the system but also outside of the system and coordinating care throughout the community for people. So we've got more and more clinical specialists and more specialty programs and services, so it makes it even more difficult for people to figure out how to navigate. When my dad's health challenges, he would have a surgeon and an internal medicine doctor, and that was pretty much his team. Now today, you've got a whole host of physicians and other healthcare providers and clinicians.
Do you believe that's thanks to medical advancements and technology advancements, and then but also part of human need?
Well, I think it's just how we've grown up with far more the complexity of healthcare and far more specialization and new ways of providing healthcare, not just in a hospital setting. But the challenge then is to coordinate that care on behalf of the patients and their families, as opposed to thinking that we're a hospital-centric healthcare system for our nation or locally, which is more repair center medicine. So in the past, it would be like, well, we'll get this person fixed up, repaired, and then we'll discharge them somewhere, and they go off into the ether of the community. Now we're being held increasingly accountable to help coordinate that care, and it's the right thing for the people we serve.
And follow through in wellness.
Yes.
Do you think that solutions for some of these complications are going to be coming out of Washington or legislative processes, or do you think that solutions for some of these disconnects that you were mentioning are going to be able to come up organically?
I think it requires both. The organic transitions of the improved coordination of care have to happen at the local level because the resources are different. It varies from state to state. I mean, we're the second worst state in the country for behavioral health financial support, so that makes a different challenge. So that the financing is very different. But the challenges of coordination of care have to be done at the local level. But the reason government is involved, whether you like it to be involved or you don't like it to be involved, we are a government-dependent healthcare delivery system now. In Southwest Florida, because we're so heavy Medicare, Medicaid, and uninsured, we don't have very many large employers. After the school district and Lee Health, it tails off really fast in terms of numbers of employees in large employer groups. So we're very dependent on Medicare and Medicaid to provide the financing for healthcare. So we're government-dependent. So public policy decisions in Washington, policy decisions in Tallahassee play a big role. And unfortunately, at both areas of policy decision, we're at a real major stalemate and conflict where people can't spend the time to actually try to understand how to make the fixes more effective, and we look for quick solutions that we can pull off a shelf and suddenly say everybody's going to love it. It's become more complex.
It seems like the debate has become so polarized that it's difficult for anybody to get a real handle on what is actually happening on the ground.
It affects – it's not just healthcare. I think every major complex issue in our country, whether it's infrastructure, roads, sewers, bridges, et cetera, people knew for a long time that the dams and levees around New Orleans wouldn't withstand a major storm. But we kept putting it off until it became far more expensive than it had been to do preventive fixing on the dams and levees. And the same thing is true in healthcare. The same thing is true in education. These really complex issues, I tell people, we find it easier to debate in Washington about Roger Clemens and whether he took steroids or not than to actually focus on the really complex issues of our society.
We have a call coming in. This is Glenn calling in from Fort Myers. Glenn, what would you like to say?
My question is regarding cybersecurity. I don't know if the new director is going to be even more mandated in putting more cybersecurity precautions and infrastructures in place, or what's your thoughts on that, especially for your new facilities?
Sure, Glenn, and thank you. It's very timely, obviously, with the WannaCry or WannaCrypt that just occurred this past Friday. I was so proud of our team because within minutes of becoming aware that this was an issue, they had alerted us throughout the system. By the end of the day, they had identified where there were potential risks. By the next morning, we had identified, by Saturday morning, early at 6:01 a.m., we had identified one computer that had received something that could have been a problem. By the end of the day, we had a total of three. But we were on it. Now, it's not to say that we won't have an attack by somebody else that'll be successful, but amazingly proud of the team that we've assembled here and the protections that we've tried to install. But this is – I think we're still in the infancy of these potential cyber attacks. And in that particular case last week, a 22-year-old figured it out within a few hours, and at least it appears played a big role in the fix. But I think you raise a really good question. We have to protect health information, but we have to protect our society, and this is a scary. They called it a virus in the early days. It's now more than that. This is inflicted by people trying to cause problems.
Well, that's incredible. And I imagine 35 years ago when you first started, this was not something that you imagined was going to be an issue coming up in healthcare.
It wasn't that many. We don't have to go back decades to realize that we certainly didn't anticipate this as our technology boom has been occurring. I think we've been all so excited about the advances that the technology brings, but it's only in recent years that we've become aware of how people can utilize this to such a horrendous detriment. The early stages, I think people were doing it as a prank just to prove they could do it. Now people are doing it for money, and they're doing it to be amazingly destructive.
Very malicious. But did you think that decades ago you'd find yourself at the helm of a healthcare system that has autonomous robots delivering medications throughout the hospital?
So I've been doing this about 40 years and actually been in healthcare all my life. My dad was a professional patient, so I was a professional visitor with all his medical problems. But I can recall about 40 years ago the first I don't know if you would call it purely robotic, but clearly where there were the ability of delivering goods down a hallway through electronic means. But to see what we can do today is certainly a far cry from yesterday, and to realize where we might be five years from now, the technology boom will continue really unabated.
We are talking with Lee Health CEO Jim Nathan, who is retiring on June 1st after more than 30 years, leading one of the area's biggest healthcare providers. Do you have a question or a comment? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Now, when you made your announcement that you wanted to retire, you recommended to the board of directors that the best person to take your position is Lee Health's COO, and that's Dr. Larry Antonucci. And that says a lot about how you feel about how the organization is doing, that you want to maintain that kind of continuity. Is there a difference when a doctor is leading an organization like this versus a person whose background isn't hands-on medical practice?
I think the first thing is it has to be the right person. You opened your show by complimenting us, not just in healthcare, but for all businesses around the world, that Forbes magazine identified us as number 29 of large employers for our employee engagement. There is a culture that is really, really special throughout our 13,000 employees. We take a lot of pride in that. Over the last few years, we've been in the 97th percentile nationally in terms of healthcare organizations for employee engagement. So that culture, along with a increasing realization of this whole issue of coordinating care more effectively, is something that I feel so strongly that we cannot slow that train down. And for the board to go through a national search that could be a year and a half to 2 years, and we've watched on some of these public searches in healthcare and other places where it's become really a complex mess that stops the organization from the speed of the progress that it needs to happen. And if you don't have succession planning, first of all, I think that's a failure of leadership. But secondly, if you can't do it, then you have to do a search. It's the right thing. Specific to Dr. Antonucci, I've known him for a long time. He practiced obstetrics as an independent physician in this community for 25 years, highly respected clinically, but also highly respected from his ethics and leadership skills. He helped build Physicians Primary Care, PPC, in this community, led it for many years, and actually helped navigate them in the late 90s through a really complex financial challenge that they were facing, which showed me leadership. And then he's been on our team now for quite a few years in various leadership capacities. So he's been well-tested internally and externally. And you can't vet an external candidate better than somebody that has gone through all of the challenges that he's gone through and is so well-respected internally and externally in our community.
Yeah, and since your retirement announcement, the negotiation of salary has come up, and that's something that's made public. Why are salaries public?
Well, it's not normal for most healthcare organizations, although even not-for-profits still have to publish their salaries through what's called 990. So there's not a whole lot that's secret today, but the actual debate and discussions around it are because we do have a publicly elected board of directors. So we're a public organization that has to hold its meetings in the sunshine. So that increases it. Through the years, we've had a policy of trying to compensate the CEO and most of our employees in every different capacity at around the 50th percentile, around the average for the nature of that specific position. So we felt like this was an easy way for board members to say to the community, to anyone that we're asking a question, yes, the salaries to some may seem high, but we use outside consultants to provide the data and information to demonstrate that. When I left for a little bit in 97 thinking I could reform healthcare at the national level, failed miserably along with everybody else that thinks they can do that.
Well, at least you tried.
At least I tried. But the board got sticker shock because I had intentionally kept my compensation well below even the average. And so when I came back, they put the policy in that they wanted the CEO compensation around the median. Mm-hmm. So this most recent discussion was going to go on anyway, whether I had announced my retirement or not, because they wanted to test the marketplace as to where I was vis-a-vis the nation. So they were already sort of in that dialogue. And then after my decision, they brought in two different consulting groups and then merged their data and information to come up with a package for Dr. Antonucci that places him basically at the median of what is going on for health systems our size and complexity. It's a $1.8 billion business with a lot of different businesses under the umbrella of Lee Health.
And that's what I wanted to ask you about. What's a day at work look like? I mean, what do you have to know about? You have to know about long-term care. You have to know home care. I mean, what kind of things does a CEO do?
So you know, you need to understand all of those different businesses and how the interplay of them. But if any one person believes that they can be an expert in every one of those businesses, I had a mentor many, many years ago that took a lot of weight off of my shoulders when I was trying to figure out how to keep up with the experts in each area. And his response was, they can't even keep up with all the changes that are going on in their specialty area. It moves so fast. And that was a long time ago. And now it's moving even faster. So one of the comments was, you have to learn, do you have the right people in the right places doing the right things for the right reasons? You have to be able to build those teams and then empower them to be able to be successful. So I often use a term that my job is to be an enabler so that we have the resources, the culture, and the talent of the people to do great work in all these many, many different businesses. Also, when you say, what's a day like, I've been doing this a long time. There have never been 2 days that would look exactly the same. There are always what I would call the crises du jour, and I say that plural intentionally, and there's also the opportunities du jour that come about. And it's exciting. And I think what also adds, a lot of people don't stay as long in one location as I have here, but we've had this phenomenal growth and the phenomenal changes in healthcare delivery and financing and the complexity of it, which has made my job like a new job every single day.
So that's what kept you here, is the continuing
Absolutely.
Evolution and growth.
Yes.
Do you think it's better for a healthcare system to grow and be large? What are the advantages of it being as big as it is?
Well, I'll start with the disadvantage. When we were just Lee Memorial Hospital and we had 1,200 employees and I was the CEO there back in the 70s and early 80s, I knew almost every employee by name. I knew almost every employee by about their families on all the different shifts. So as we've gotten bigger, that's been a lot more difficult. But I've worked really hard to try to be exposed and to meet as many people and to feel that I'm a part of their lives as they are with mine. I think the advantage or the need for the growth is not to be big just to be big, but the economics of healthcare are such that if you do not have sufficient volume to be able to cover the costs, the fixed costs of healthcare, you have a real problem. And so we're seeing consolidation going on all across the country. And a lot of people in this community think because we're big for the community that we're big. But the reality is that at $1.8 billion, we're seeing now healthcare organizations at $10, $15, $20 billion and still feeling that they need to get more economies of scale to be able to do that.
Are the margins getting smaller?
So clearly on the inpatient side, the margins continue to shrink, and that's so much where there's the dramatic increase in government regulation, and we just saw another $10 million reduction in reimbursement from the state of Florida in this past legislative session. And so that's where the margins get smaller. But it's also where by the size of the business, it still adds significant to the cash flow of the organization.
Mm-hmm. We have a phone call coming in from Jeff, who's on the line. Jeff, what would you like to ask?
Oh, hello, Mr. Nathan. Thank you for all you do and for your service to our area.
Thank you, Jeff.
What I'd like to ask is, you know, should we head towards almost sort of like a free market concept with healthcare as proposed by President Trump? How do you feel Lee Health is positioned, and how do you think, I guess, healthcare in general would react to such a proposal should it go through?
So, Jeff, I grew up in private business. I believe in free enterprise. I believe in competition. The reality is in healthcare, because we have laws and we have social mores to care for people regardless of their financial status with the complexity of healthcare, a total free enterprise system, unless everyone who provided health care was required to take care of everyone, regardless of their financial status, regardless of the complexity, regardless of the emergency, we've got a real problem in going to a total free market system. That then causes the flip side. And just this week, the president of Aetna, a private enterprise, big insurance business, raised the question, should we be going to a universal coverage, the exact opposite of total free market? No one really knows what the right thing to do is, but I do know this for a fact. When you follow the money, the entrepreneurial spirit will be to follow where the most profitable cases are and leave for someone else the most complex, the uninsured and underinsured cases. And if you don't have a revenue stream to take care of the uninsured and underinsured people, you got a problem. And this is the debate that we face at the state and at the national level, is that other industrialized and first world countries have made the decision that they want to provide health care coverage in some way to all of its people. We do it through the back door by waiting until somebody's so sick they come to the emergency room rather than getting the kind of pre-care that they have. And these high deductible plans, which also are competitive opportunities, do also create a problem because by the time somebody's seriously ill, they don't have enough cash to cover their deductible. So you raise, really, Jeff, the most critical issue that we face in our nation, with people debating that health care is not a right, it's a privilege, and others that with our legal and social mores say that that it's a right for everybody. So thanks for asking the question. I wish I had a simple answer. There are people, we could do this as a country, and we could have an American version with competitive forces built into it if we could actually get past the political divisiveness that we have and bring people together to actually create a new American healthcare system. But in order to do that, it's no different than any startup of a new business. You have to have sufficient capitalization while you're still trying to eat. And the same thing in healthcare, to really, really repackage it, at the same time not destroy people while you're doing it, there's a massive capitalization, and we just don't have that financial capability in our country. And yet, ultimately, there's enough money being spent in healthcare today. It's just being inappropriately spent. So easy question, difficult solution.
Do you foresee a solution coming anytime in the near future?
Not in the near future. We are so divided as a country on these issues, and we want simple and quick solutions that do not require sacrifices. And I don't want to over-politicize this, but prior to our most recent decade of wars, we always sacrificed as a nation if we were going to have to. We certainly have continued to sacrifice people and lives, but we've not been willing as a nation to say, well, we need to sacrifice and invest in this by not expending certain dollars of things that we need to have. And we don't know how to do that any longer as a nation. And I feel like in every major issue, we want people that will tell us everything's going to be wonderful with simple soundbite solutions, and we can do it for less money. It's not that easy.
It's just not going to be a soundbite.
So, no. Not for me.
Yeah. Even though you're stepping down as president and CEO, though, does that mean that you're going to be completely separating from your work, or do you foresee getting involved or maybe going again back to Washington to try to slug it out again?
So my wife says she owns me until September the 12th. We've got some things planned for this summer. I do not intend to get in the way of the leadership team and the board and the medical community for Lee Health. That's their job. If I wanted to do that, I wouldn't have resigned. I relinquished my role as CEO. But I do have a passion. Other than an hour of exercise each day, I don't have other hobbies. So my hobby and my passion is over this issue of fend for self medicine, health policy issues, et cetera, as well as leadership and mentoring of young people. So when I repackage my life, some things will fit along those lines, along with volunteerism.
After your mandatory vacation
Yes.
for your wife. All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there now. I want to thank our guest, Jim Nathan, and best wishes for a relaxing retirement, at least for a while, as CEO of Lee Health. Thanks
thank
for coming
you.
In.
Thank you. I'm honored.
Coming up, Southwest Florida is under attack by a plague of salt marsh mosquitoes. We'll talk to experts with the Collier County Mosquito Control District about what's behind the swarm and a mosquito expert about other mosquito-borne concerns. I'm Julie Glenn, and this is Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.